Hello again, and welcome back to another Nugget of Truth. We've been talking about the Great Commission and evangelism as basic instructions for a Christian. A follower of Jesus is charged with the responsibility of reproducing him or herself. Now, to make disciples, you have to be a disciple. To coin an old expression regarding making disciples, sheep beget sheep. You have to be one to make one. Discipleship is also a true sign of maturity in Christ. The good news of the gospel is just too great a message to keep to oneself. Now, what should be our motivation for witnessing or sharing or proclaiming the gospel? This is what a disciple does. Is it a required duty? Is it something I must do to belong to the church? No, it really has nothing to do with duty or initiation or belonging to a group of believers. Jesus makes it clear what our motivation should be in sharing the good news. As a matter of fact, to love is a commandment. In John 13, verses 34 to 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Can you see? Discipleship is about expressing Jesus' love by words and deeds. As we do that, it will prove that we are disciples of Jesus and make our witness or our testimony believable. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian or what church you belong to or how much of the Bible you've memorized. Without love, you're nothing. Now, I didn't just make that statement up. I'm just quoting the scripture. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, just simply making noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love." Here we go. He says, "I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, to be sacrificed, but have not love, it profits me nothing." Clearly, you can see it's not the gifts and the anointings and the sacrifices and the giving that so often we are attracted to that really matter. If one doesn't love, they are nothing. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 6 through 16, Jesus is speaking to believers when he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Then he goes on to say, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So when Jesus says that we are to be salt and life, what's he talking about? How can salt lose its saltiness or light be hidden under a basket? Jesus is simply using salt and light as a parable for love. When a Christian does not love, he is a Christian that has lost his flavor or saltiness. When a Christian is unwilling to share the love of God, he is hiding his love under a basket. Now, at this point, you might be feeling defeated because there are people in your life you don't love. Come on, I think everyone experiences that. There are people who have hurt you, even abused you, and you say to yourself, "How can I love them?" Well, the problem is that many of us interpret love as an emotional feeling. And because they don't feel love, they feel like they're letting God down. And this often leads to guilt and to shame, and in worst cases, causing many to step away from God. The good news is that you can love without the feeling of emotion. What we need to understand is the kind of love that Jesus has for us. In the New King James Version of the Bible, which is the Bible I use, The word love is used 230 times. What you may not realize is that in the original Greek language, there are at least four words for love, and each one is translated as the word love in English. So the question you must ask yourself is, what kind of love is Jesus commanding me to show? What kind of love was the Apostle Paul talking about when he said, without love, I'm nothing? What kind of love is like salt or light? In each one of these three cases, the Greek word agape is used for love. And I'll have much more to say about agape in the next post. But for now, I want to focus on the three other words for love. I love my wife, Dee. I love my children and my brother and my sister. I love my friend, Frank. And although I use the word love in each case, you recognize already that I don't love each of these people in the same way. In other words, the word love has different meaning depending on the context or the usage of the sentence. Our modern New Testament Bible was originally translated from the Greek language into, well, in our case, English. And the Greeks had four different words for love. In the English version of the Bible, they are simply translated as the word love. So when we think of the word love, we often think of, for instance, romantic love. And this is the Greek word eros. While the Greek word eros is not found in the New Testament, the Old Testament has the corresponding, the same word, but in Hebrew. But a Greek word that is found in the New Testament is the word storge, which is a family-based love, if you will. The love one has for children, for siblings, for parents, for relatives. And the third kind of love is called filial. And this type of love is reserved, for close friendships. The city of Philadelphia gets its name from filial, the city of brotherly love. The final Greek word for love is agape. And this is unconditional love, which is the love that God has for you and for all of mankind. As I said, more about that most important kind of love, agape, in the next post. And I really encourage you to listen in next time, because I believe that if there's any confusion about love and loving people who are unlovable, I believe that God's got an answer for you. Okay? So God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time. Bye.